Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ubuntu podcast. It's season 13, episode 40. It's the final episode of the year and of season 13. It wasn't that unlucky after all, hey? We'd like to say a big thank you to everyone who supported us this year with our Patreon subscriptions and with one-off PayPal contributions. Now, as usual, as this is the last show of the year, we are going to be going on hiatus for a couple of months at the beginning of next year to give us and all of you a lot of break. So, Martin, would you like to explain what's going to happen with our Patreon while we're off air?
Yes, so the first thing that's going to happen is there will be a payment taken on January the 1st or whatever, you know, the first week of January is, and that will be the money that we use to pay for the December production costs. But then we will pause Patreon taking money for Ubuntu podcast until we return, or if indeed we return, because, you know, we haven't had our curry yet and decided if we're going to do this again. But we will be pausing the Patreon whilst we're off the air.
Great. So yes, if you're subscribed and you want to continue to support us, then continue to be subscribed. We won't take your money without giving you podcasts. and in the meantime, Alan, what have you been up to recently?
Well, just in time for the last episode, I have removed the audio noise that was plaguing my system and also doubled my speed on my desktop PC.
Wow, was this the same fix for both?
It was. It was one fix that did both things. It turns out I use Ethernet over power adapters, TP-Link devices, mm-hmm. Because my office is at like the complete opposite end of the house from the internet connection. And to get it here, I didn't run Ethernet. I just used Ethernet over power, and I've been using it for years. And there's been this background like crackle for a while, and I couldn't pinpoint what it was. And I thought it was cables crossing over or something like that. And also the internet in this room is 50% of what it should be. I pay for like 100, 110 meg or something, and I get 48, 50, something like that. And when the kids were out one day, I unplugged loads of things and shuffled things around. And it turned out it was the Ethernet over power device, which has a through socket, was plugged into a four-way thing. And I moved it, so it's plugged directly in the wall. Magically, the audio problem goes away, and my internet is now twice as fast. That's all I did. That's the only thing that changed, was me moving the Ethernet over power socket to be plugged directly in the wall. Suddenly everything's faster and better.
Wow, great. Well, I'm glad you got that done in time for one recording.
Sorry, Joe.
Martin, what have you been up to?
I have been playing Hot Shot Racing with my friends on that there internet.
It's a good game.
This is a driving game, I imagine.
It is. I think I may have mentioned it earlier in the year, but it's having a bit of a revival at the moment. It's a low-poly, retro, arcade-style racer. Uh-huh. It's available on Steam, and you can play it under Proton. And now I'm not working for, you know, the Christmas break. I was looking to have some fun. So I've started hosting some Linux game nights, and this is the game we're playing at the moment, doing a Grand Prix round the tracks.
And can people watch you playing, even if they don't want to play?
They can. I've started a second YouTube channel just for playing games on Linux.
Excellent.
And it's all streamed there. And everyone who's playing along with me has a voice in the room, and it's a real group effort. And in fact, some of the others are streaming as well. So you can even overlay multiple angles of the game being played at the same time.
Brilliant. And with that, let's get on with the show. And as it's the last show of the year, we thought we would have a bit of a retrospective on all of the good news that happened in 2020. So let's begin back in episode one on the 24th of March. Martin, what good news did you find?
I was delighted by Alan running the Ubuntu Wallpaper World Cup and Hardy Heron being voted as the all-time favourite Ubuntu desktop wallpaper.
Who would possibly have seen that result coming?
Absolutely everyone. But what transpired is I did a bit of archaeology and we dug up the original artwork for that, and we were able to reproduce a 4K version, which was included in the Focal Fossa LTS release later in the year.
Nice.
Brilliant. And speaking of that LTS release, we had more good news in April.
Yes, indeed. April was, of course, the release of the Focal Fossa LTS release. And, you know, I think for Alan, as much as for me, you know, this is a landmark for us. You know, the LTS is very important. But, you know, personally, this was my first time round being, you know, engineering director for Ubuntu Desktop. So it was, you know, a real milestone for me personally and professionally. And this is now the distro that's going to be out there for the next 5 years, you know, running on all manner of, you know, laptops and workstations.
Alan?
Yeah, following on from that, there was a nice community-led Ubuntu testing week that we talked about back in episode 3, I think, this year. And the thing I loved about that was it was community-oriented. They didn't have to ask permission. They didn't have to, you know, get canonical approval to do this. It was just a bunch of community people who decided, let's get together and get some testing of 2004 before it's released. And they organized it for all of the flavors, and it really helped. A lot more people had more eyeballs on 2004 than previous releases. So it was very welcome that people were doing it.
And in May, Mark Shuttleworth did an interview with ZDNet where he spoke about Canonical's finances, possible initial public offering, and going into some details about Canonical's profitability, which is interesting because ZDNet did some looking into Canonical's reports, which they file, which show it's actually been a profitable company since 2018. Which is really cool to see that, you know, they talk about how it's not as profitable as Red Hat because you don't have to pay as much for Ubuntu as you do for Red Hat. but it's really cool to see it's actually, you know, financially self-sustaining now, and there's a possible path to it going public, but there's reasons for caution about it, especially given the current situation in the world. But it'll be interesting to see how that pans out in the coming years. Martin.
So later in May, we announced the code name for what was the Ubuntu 2010 release, and that code name was Groovy Gorilla. And I'm very pleased with that because I managed to convince Mark Shuttleworth that that's the code name we should go with, and he decided to go with it. So, yeah, what's the bucket list moment there?
Also led to having gorilla-based wallpapers and gorilla-based t-shirts and stuff that, you know, gorilla's an iconic animal rather than some weird squirrel thing that, you know, obscure
fact,
animal that nobody's
have
on. Weird squirrel thing t-shirt on, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And jumping ahead to June, Alan.
Yeah, Lenovo made their entire workstation range available for Ubuntu. And obviously, as a ThinkPad nerd, this made me quite happy. And so this was a good news item for the middle of the year. And I haven't actually bought one yet. I'm still eyeing up these machines and thinking carefully about what my next laptop purchase will be. But the fact that you could buy Lenovo's now with Ubuntu pre-installed and available directly from their website makes me very happy. So that was good to see that.
Yeah, and it also marked that this year we had more Ubuntu certified devices than any previous year. So, you know, more Ubuntu in the wild. It's great.
And Martin, we had our first bit of good Raspberry Pi news in June.
Yeah, the Raspberry Pi 4 got serious when they released their 8 gig model. So this has been a real tipping point, I think. There's been so much more interest in the Raspberry Pi because it now is fast and has plenty of RAM. It's really quite unconstrained. And I immediately went out and bought about half a dozen.
Of course you did.
Alan.
So as part of my drumbeat that I've been banging for a while about people should stop making distros and start making more applications, I was pleased to see that Flutter SDK came to Linux. So people have another avenue to either develop brand new applications or port applications that are made available for other platforms like Windows and Mac. They can bring to Linux a lot easier using Flutter. And so in July, I was quite pleased to see that people have an additional avenue through which to express themselves in app development.
My, what a lot of good news. And we've only got to August. So, Alan, what did we find in August?
Oh, my gosh. This was just Amazing. The National Museum of Computing launched a virtual tour. And obviously, if it's difficult for you to get to the National Museum of Computing, which it might be, then a virtual tour is just as good, because the way they'd done it in such a way that you could virtually walk around the museum and zoom in on their exhibits and look at the posters on the wall and move from room to room. And it was just so beautifully done that you could just meander around a museum like you would in real life, but there was nobody to bump into and nobody to get in your way and nobody standing in front of the exhibits. You could just meander around at your leisure and revisit at any time. So you can go back to that website now and have another look around the museum. It's fantastic. I love it.
Brilliant. And shortly after we found that, Jupiter Broadcasting, friends of the show, announced that they are independent again. They threw off the shackles of their corporate paymasters to become an independent broadcasting network once again. And we wish them all the best and still continue to do so. Martin, what happened in September?
Well, in September, building on the news of Lenovo's bringing their range of workstations with Ubuntu in June, HP announced their Z series workstations and mobile workstations are also going to start shipping with Ubuntu. And that completed the trio of the three sort of top tier one OEMs that are now all shipping Ubuntu on their devices.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's great to have more choice for, you know, when you want to buy a laptop, you know, there's all these little boutique people like the System 76 and the Tuxedo and all of that. But having big brand names that people know and recognize available directly from their website, that you can order a machine with Ubuntu pre-installed, gives a lot more confidence for Ubuntu as well, because people then, okay, this is a legit thing. If this company is selling it, then, you know.
Yeah.
I like that.
There's a lot of commentary about, you know, how do you market desktop Linux and get more adoption? And I think this is how we do it. We get Ubuntu on more devices that people can easily purchase, because what is it you're advertising if it's not like, go and get this thing here and away you go.
Alan.
In October, episode 29, we talked about something super exciting for me. the Ouya console, which I always want to say Ouya, because that's how the title sequence is. There's a developer working on mainline Linux kernel support for this device, which it was an Android console that, in inverted commas, failed in that, you know, a lot of them were sold. It was a crowdfunding campaign. A lot of them were sold, and they weren't as popular as they could have been, and there were some missteps, but there's a lot of them out there. And so a developer was working on getting support for this in the mainline kernel, so people can revive their little tiny device which sits next to the TV and allows you to play video games on the TV very easily. So yeah, I was very pleased to see that in October.
Will you be installing a Linux distro on your Ouya at some point in the future?
Yes, just so that I can mention it. If we come back for another season, I can mention that I've installed Linux on my Ouya.
What else happened in October, Alan?
The Windows calculator on Linux with Uno platform happened with another opportunity. See, there's just constant stream of these app development platforms and SDKs coming to Linux. And Uno had a little cheeky bit of promo for their development platform by bringing a Windows calculator-like experience to Linux. And I found that quite fun, nice way to promote the use of their SDK, and yet another way for people to build applications on their favorite desktop.
I still have it installed. It's my default calculator.
And I got very excited in October about the new Raspberry Pi Compute Module 4, which has a new form factor. And they also released an example I/O board, which it plugs into, which I'm still hoping will lead to a new generation of Raspberry Pi powered laptops using this module, because I think it allows a much sort of more streamlined design of laptop based on the Raspberry Pi platform.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with the 8 gig model and that, and this, and the 4 gig model and what have you, the time is ripe for somebody to come up with a genuine Raspberry Pi laptop, for sure.
Also with a PCI connector. So it's kind of limitless what you could do with that, you know, whether it's a GPU or something else on that bus. Could be super interesting.
Yeah. And that wasn't it for the Raspberry Pi news, Martin.
No, in November, they announced their Raspberry Pi 400 keyboard, which I think is my device of the year. You know, we've covered all of these Raspberry Pi announcements. They've been busy over the course of 2020, but I thought this was absolutely splendid. The keyboard form factor really makes it super convenient to have a Raspberry Pi just on your desk and in the corner, and you can just pull it forward and do stuff on it when you need it. I love it. It's a great, great device. And the book that comes in the full kit is brilliant. If you've got, you know, kids and they're just getting into Scratch and stuff, that book is just a treasure trove.
And finally, Martin.
Some Ubuntu Mate news. How could we not have a little bit of Ubuntu Mate news at the end of the year? So in late November, the Ubuntu Mate team announced that we had enabled the GPD WinMax mobile gaming laptop, and official firmware is available from the GPD website and the Ubuntu Mate website.
Great. Well, listeners, what a good year it was for news. If we've missed out your favourite news story from the year, why don't you let us know? You could email show@ubuntupodcast.org. We will still be reading your emails in between this year and next year. Or you could come and tell us about it in our Telegram channel. Go to ubuntupodcast.org/telegram. And now it's time for some GUI love. And the last GUI love of the year. Martin, what did you find?
Well, I found a thing called Mango HUD. I mentioned earlier in the year that I'd been playing Cyberpunk 2077 on Linux, and I found a couple of other people that were doing the same. And one guy had put one of these frame rate time interval counters overlaid, and I was like, ooh, how do you do that? And it's this thing called Mango HUD. So I thought, I want that. And I built it from source like an animal and made it work. And I thought, this won't do. So I then found out that the Debian gaming team had been preparing packaging for Mango HUD. So I took that and adapted it and backported it to Ubuntu and published it in a PPA. And I now have my games in Steam automatically launch this overlay, so I can see the power consumption of the GPU, the temperature of the GPU and the CPU, the frequency they're running at, how many frames per second, the frame rate intervals and all the rest of it.
That's really good, because my previous solution to this when I had an NVIDIA GPU was I would SSH into my Steam box from another computer and run the NVIDIA CLI tool, which output this to the command line.
Yeah.
Does it work with any GPU?
Yes. So the one in my PPA does. So the one that the Debian team are publishing doesn't have the NVIDIA GPU enablement, but I've enabled that in the version I publish in my PPA. And when it starts, you can just use Shift F12 to turn it on and off. So nice. I have it always start, and then I can turn it off when I don't want it to be there.
And it doesn't lag the game or impact the game performance in any way noticeably?
Not that I can measure, no. And then when I put some tweets out about this, and then a bunch of people said, oh, well, what you need now is this thing called Govalay. And Govalay is a thing that configures Mango HUD to say what attributes you want displayed and what color and where you want them. So I've also prepared and packaged Govalay, and it's in the same PPA. So you've got the UI to configure and manage this thing. And we'll have links to the show note in the show notes to where you can get all of that stuff.
Nice.
And now it's time for all your wonderful feedback. And first up, Eric Nance emailed us.
I wanted to give you my perspective on HP's new laptop and workstation offerings geared towards data science. As a professional statistician and data scientist, I am certainly excited to see OEMs begin targeting this rapidly growing field. My only critique is how they have only included Python as the language of choice. Where's the love for the R language? I have nothing against Python at all, but we're seeing more and more data scientists utilizing both R and Python in different aspects of their workload, and it would be nice to see OEM start recognizing the importance of having both readily available. The cutting-edge algorithms in statistics are almost guaranteed to have a dedicated R package, and now it is much easier for R to integrate with Python, to tap into TensorFlow or other ML libraries. Perhaps I just need to be a bit louder to the OEM vendors about this. So, Eric, that's excellent feedback, and I'll help you with that. I have the opportunity to speak to HP about this stuff, and I'll send them your feedback.
And we had several emails about what you've been up to since the event. And first up, Joshua Schechter emailed us.
I enjoyed the section of the last Ubuntu podcast that described what you've been up to during pandemic times. When I get free times, I like listening to audiobooks and podcasts. I did want to make an audible recommendation. We Are Legion, We Are Bob by Dennis E. Taylor. It's the first of a fun future sci-fi trilogy that has tons of references that I think you'll like. Excellent. I will grab that because I'm just about to finish my current book. So I look forward to listening to that as well. Thank you, Joshua.
James Swift emailed us.
Listening to your segment about board games struck a chord. Before the event, I used to enjoy playing games with people. I've tried online versions of, say, Monopoly, but find that they suck a lot of the fun out of it by forcing you to adhere so strictly to the rules. We all have our own special house rules, don't we? So I spent a few hours and wrote my own version, which I can screen share in a group video chat. It has the basics, such as pieces moving around the board in order, the prices of the houses, etc., but it's designed to allow you to use your own Monopoly money, your own dice, and if you like, and be flexible enough to use any of your own house rules. I've only tested it in a real game once and it worked well, except I forgot to make an option to allow players to declare bankruptcy. So sadly, we're doomed to play for an eternity. But isn't that how all Monopoly games go anyway?
I like this because this is not only playing games during the event, but also developing something new during the event.
Right.
So that's excellent. I approve.
Yes. And Ian Forbes emailed us.
In episode 36, you asked us how people have been filling their time after the event. As I'm in Sweden, we're not in strict lockdown, but staggered shifts have been introduced at work to minimise staff interaction following a small outbreak. How do I counter the existential angst? Mainly, Talisman digital version, Among Us and Tabletop Simulator on weekends, and during the week, the Great Courses audiobooks. These books are often 16 plus hours long, so you get a lot of value for your credit. So far, I've taken courses in biology, human behavior, Eastern religion, and Russian history. I should be able to crush the rest of the family at Trivial Pursuit over Christmas. It's fantastic.
Very good.
Graham Ashton emailed us.
I too have been focused on decluttering recently and have many things to photograph, describe and take to the post office. I also have a spreadsheet of things sold and cash recouped. Very motivating. The main reason I'm emailing is that I'd love to know what you've discovered about cheap and responsible packaging, Alan. Any tips?
So, every time something arrives at Shea Popey in a cardboard box, I keep the cardboard box. I reuse cardboard boxes all the time. And if you come into my kitchen, along the top above all the shelving that all the kitchen stuff goes in, there's just lines and lines of cardboard boxes. Because I would way rather reuse existing cardboard boxes and reuse the packaging than create something new. So that's my thing, is I keep them, and it makes my kitchen look a bit cluttered if your eyes go above 6 foot. But if you keep your eyes at 6 foot and don't lift your eyes, it looks fine. It's fine. Nobody cares. But yeah, there are a whole load of boxes in my kitchen that I reuse. That's what I do.
And finally, Dave Parker emailed us.
Greetings from Canada. I tried the roast potatoes and they were a hit. Thank you. I thought I'd share my Linux project. As a chiropractor, I was forced to close shop for 6 weeks back in April to May. So I did a command line love project. I could never find a Linux music player whose playlist could easily be shared with an Android player. So I made one. It's a bash script that extensively uses YAD, yet another dialogue, and mPlayer. Apologies for the unschooled coding. This is also fantastic. It hits so many buttons. Like, it's a shell script and you've created something. Mm-hmm. I approve of this completely. It's fantastic.
Yes, and we'll have some links in the show notes to Dave's project. It's called YAD Player. And that's all of your feedback for this week and indeed this year. And that's all for episode 40. We made it, guys.
Cool. It only took 2 years this time, right?
Well, thank you everyone for listening all year. It's been lovely to hear from you. Lovely to have all your feedback. Lovely to chat with you all in Telegram. Again, if you want to chat with us in between this year and possible season 14, come over to ubuntupodcast.org/telegram and say hello. We'll be in there. We're not going anywhere for Christmas, are we?
No, and it's a generally friendly place. And we talk about all manner of stuff, whether it's tea, biscuits, and sometimes Ubuntu Linux.
So thanks very much, everyone, and we might see you again next year.